Oh, hey, we're here.
I really enjoy the big explosion. In
there. Josh blew away.
I like there's two explosions, one for season one and one for season two.
Is there?
Yeah, there's one. It's like when the song changes over, there's like a little. Yeah.
Oh.
Wait till season three. It'll
be
like
so many explosions. Yeah. It's, the intro is just going to be one long explosion.
Tons of them.
Yeah. All right, well.
That's for season four.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to episode five,
yep.
Season two. Season
yes.
two, album The Podcast. Giving a little wrap-up about The Podcast. I haven't done this in a bit. We are album. We're a band from Ohio. Been a band for 13 years.
Oh, yeah.
We decided, hey, why not do a stinking podcast?
Why not?
So now we're doing a podcast.
We're just kind of like telling our story, and as we go, we're playing stuff that's like an influence to us. So as we go, you'll learn a little bit about us, what we like, what we don't like.
It's a podcast all about us.
It is.
That's because, you know, we're just so egotistical. And
right,
you know,
right.
We just think we're so cool.
Yeah. But we've been having like, we've been showing our influences, and
we have.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Today is a special day.
It is a big one.
Special day.
We have a good friend of ours, Andy Conrad, is on the show.
Andy Conrad is on the fucking podcast.
Yep.
So,
Jason, hit it.
Oh, hold on. I'm not ready.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, dude.
Okay.
I mean,
here we go.
Ready. Okay.
Welcome, Andy Conrad, to the show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Did you like that?
I did.
You weren't expecting that.
No, I wasn't.
He grabbed for his ears really quick.
it peaks the phones a little bit.
It was spicy. Well,
that's good.
Yeah, got to remember to back off a little bit next time. I'm looking at the bars in Winfield. He went full on brick mastering.
Maybe I didn't need to yell right in that.
He was like, ugh.
Well, Andy, thanks for coming on to the album, The Podcast.
Thank you guys very much. It's really cool to be on because I've like, you know, been listening the whole times.
So you're a fan.
I am. I can honestly say that.
Awesome.
That's cool. Yeah.
And now you're seeing, you know, the behind the scenes where we do this podcast, this cave of which we do the podcast.
Behind the curtain.
It's really impressive. Isn't this impressive?
I actually say it is.
It's a nice setup. Got pizza, coffee.
That's the thing, you know, it's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty all right.
And thank you for having me, by the way.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you for coming. What's going on? What are we doing today?
Well, today we're just going to kind of BS a little bit right now, and then we're going to get in.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you know, we're going to get in deep.
Slow down.
Learn a little bit about Andy, and, you know, we've known Andy for a long time, and we'll get into that, but I'm excited to hear his story.
I am, too. I am. How's everybody doing? Let's have a checkup.
Yeah, let's
check in.
Jason, how are you?
Oh, I am pretty good. Been quite busy lately. Just working on some music and doing album podcasts and
cool.
Staying up too late and not getting enough sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to.
That'll happen.
Not sleeping. Yeah.
Josh, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Had the first Wild Wings practice.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
In over a year, yeah.
And how'd that go?
That was a lot of fun. Seeing Kenny and Sam was very nice.
Good. How are they?
Good.
Good.
Sam learned Spanish.
Really?
Yeah. Taught himself Spanish.
Really? Since the last time I've seen him?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's what he's been doing over the past year. He learned Spanish.
What did he... Did he explain why or give any reason why? He was just like, I just wanted to learn it or something.
He's going on a mission trip to Mexico.
What?
No, he just...
Oh, I thought you were serious. Like, no shit, really?
He just wants to order Mexican food.
With the Church of
Spanish.
Satan?
Yeah, he wants to impress his girlfriend at a Mexican restaurant, so he's doing this without her knowing. But
she'd probably be pretty impressive
if
he laid down this awesome, like, hola.
Muy bien,
burrito. I think she thinks he's pretty sexy to begin with, but if he came at her with the Latin suave.
Can he have, conversational Spanish?
I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
He didn't, He wasn't showing off or anything like that for me. I wasn't like, so.
Yeah,
do it.
Spanish me, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Spanish me.
And Kenny, he grew his hair out too. So when we saw each other, we were like, we were both wearing, you know, baseball hats. We were like, whoa.
Long hair.
So that was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. How about you, Winfield? How are you doing? What are you up to?
I'm good. Nothing. I finished Star Trek The Next Generation today. No, I really haven't been doing a whole lot. I'm just at home on my days off. And
do you still have that job for the FBI, the female body inspector?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah.
I'm professional at it.
In Star Trek.
Ladies.
In Star Trek Next Generation, who's the dude with that like really ugly face? Isn't his name like
Worf?
The android?
Isn't his name Gwar?
Worf? The Worf?
I think Worf. It's Worf. He has like the
His head looks like a cavern.
Yeah.
I mean, he's terrible looking.
He looks bad.
Do they mention that in the show? Or are they like, Worf, like, what's your deal? Why are you so ugly? Or is he just...
I'm having a hard time.
It's just the species that the dude is, right?
Yeah, he's a Klingon.
Oh, he's just different. He's just different.
He's just different. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not like he's... It's not like he's a burn victim or something.
He doesn't look like Axl Rose. I
mean, no.
He can sing like him, though. I thought maybe that was his background story, Worf. You know, he... got in a really bad spaceship accident.
No.
And he got his face all burnt up. And now
Doesn't he look like he's constantly shot in the head?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's his forehead would feel like a dog's skull.
Yeah.
Like it has that like peak.
A bunch of ridges and bony protrusions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude's ugly.
There's
what'd they keep him on the show so long for?
That is a good question. I don't know. I can't answer these questions that you're posing to me.
And there's no Spock on that show. There is no, right?
No, there is
It's like a whole different
I'm not
setup.
Watching it.
There's no Spock. Well, he does show up. He is in a few episodes.
But they're flying around in the same spaceship.
Yes.
So do they just like murder Captain Kirk, take over, pirate his ship? And
no, this is
this is our show now. It's called Next Generation.
100 years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So is Spock supposed to be the same Spock, or is it like Spock Jr.?
No, it is the same Spock, and it's still Leonard Nimoy, and he's just Spock.
Yeah, he's just older.
Yeah, he's just older Spock.
Huh.
Yeah.
Does he have a problem with Worf because he's so ugly?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have a problem with Worf being so ugly. No.
Andy, would you have a problem with Worf because he's so ugly? Would you just see him and be like, dude, unless he's saying patience to you, then that'd be a little bit. He'd be like, I don't like the way you look. He'd be like, hey, just have a little patience.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'm done, guys.
Are you done with the Worf is ugly riff?
Yeah.
That was good, though.
I'm going to lay off on the Worf for a while.
Is that part of your new stand-up routine?
Yeah, yeah. I was trying it out on you guys.
I like it.
I just go up and tear apart Worf for 30 minutes.
I like it. It might be... It's 30 years too late. I'm sorry about that. But, you know, whatever. Comedy's whatever.
I'll work on it.
No, it's good. It's good.
I need some props, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, hey, Andy, how are you? How's it going? Are you
it's
good?
It's going good. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've just been up to normal stuff, I suppose. Let's see.
What constitutes normal stuff?
Like when I'm not
the
working.
The listeners don't know you, dude.
Yeah.
Recently, I like went on like a super deep kind of dive in onto a contraption called the Scanimate, which is like an analog motion graphics computer from the late 60s through like the very early 80s.
Yeah, that's normal stuff.
Yeah, that's
that sounds about normal.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
What? No, you should be. But why the? Why the heck did you
want to learn as much as I could on that thing. It's super interesting.
What do you do with it?
Like, think about when you would see like an old logo and it would be rotating and glowing and look like it was made out of gold, and then like stars would fly by and there would be like sparkles and stuff.
It's how they did digital effects back in the day, kind of thing.
Right, right. But it was fully analog, and the machine is like a synthesizer, which has analog oscillators in it, where you will oscillate the video and create effects out of doing that to the source video and the source image. And
so, like on your old television broadcast, like, we'll be right back to the Saturday evening movie here on NBC or whatever the fuck.
That's how they made that stuff. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
It always looked like computer graphics, but like, you know, it had that certain kind of analog glow to it. You're like, what is this? Super nerdy. Okay, that's what I was.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hey, cool.
That's interesting. That is cool.
You own this machine?
No, my goodness. There's like only two operating ones left in the world, and there used to only be eight at the peak of the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Does Worf have the other one?
Yeah, he does. They did an entire episode, Star Trek.
They did.
That data came in. He interfaced with it.
He did. That's totally an episode.
And Radar came in and he was like, "Yeah, what are you guys doing?"
From MASH?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the guy from Reading Rainbow.
Oh my God!
What's his name?
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton. Like, yeah, his name on the show is Geordi LaForge.
That's his name. That's on funny. The show.
Josh. On the show, his character's name is Geordi LaForge.
It's not very Star Trek.
No, and he wears cool glasses like that. I thought his name would be Radar.
He's blind.
Oh,
and those are like his visor.
Well, I feel bad now.
To you, there's no. LeVar Burton really isn't blind, by the way.
No, he can read.
Why he's are we on still reading? Talking about Star Trek?
Yeah,
the next
funny
generation?
How Josh brought it back. For
he did. You know
full
what?
Circle, baby.
Here's the deal. I think you should go watch it. I think you'd like the show.
Maybe.
I think you would.
Maybe you can give a review of it on Album the Podcast.
That's true.
Do you have a particular season episode?
You gotta start. It's sequential. You should watch
man.
It. From, you gotta watch it from the beginning, dude. You can't just jump in there.
Please,
you gotta,
that's too much work.
It's got a lot of seven seasons of that. Like 25
Heinekens first, like before you start, like
get nice and sick.
Get nice and sick so you can just fall asleep to it.
You just need a little extra oomph to get you there, in my opinion, to make it through one of those episodes.
Wow.
And Heineken does the trick.
No,
that's not a good choice, actually.
You remember me?
Oh man. Oh,
you sure do, Ozzy. Well, that's a good...
Oh my God.
Man. Hey, let's throw it to a commercial and then come back.
Let's use a new bumper machine.
Yeah, so we got this new bumper machine.
Yeah.
But it plays the music, but someone has to like actually do the vocal part.
Okay.
So somebody gets to select the song.
Okay.
Josh, you go first today.
Yeah, I say Josh.
You have to pick the letters A through H.
Okay.
And numbers 1 through 5.
And then do I have to do the thing as well?
You have to sing.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to say...
I have to sing it?
Whatever somebody would say if they're tossing to a commercial. I don't even know, because I always mess them up.
I got what you got.
So what's your letter?
Let's go with D9.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead and hit it.
1 through 5.
Whoa, sorry.
Yeah.
D3.
I didn't catch that.
D3.
The worst of the Mighty Ducks movies.
I hate it. That's not D3.
Oh, that was D1.
That's D1 at least.
Straight out D1, I thought.
Straight up.
D3.
Hey, we just really appreciate you checking out the Album the Podcast, and stick around, we'll be right back. Float on down to Heady Vibes for all your special smoker supplies. Open from noon to 4:30, Tuesday through Friday. And if the door's locked during business hours, just wait a minute, I'm probably out back. Heady Vibes, conveniently located right next to the Pilot Road Show.
everybody, we're back from the commercial break there.
I was just getting really into the song, man.
Yeah, we'll let it go for a minute.
Yeah, man.
I love that.
This kind of fits in with our last episode.
It does.
Yeah, that's kind of what, maybe N64?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe Super Nintendo.
If it has a Pilot Wings 64-ish type of vibe to it, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Maybe more 16-bit Nintendo.
Maybe it is.
Jason.
Still pretty awesome.
What song is this?
This is
The heavy metal song.
Oh,
that's what it's called.
This is the heavy metal preset.
It's kind of heavy metal, but it also sounds like Kansas.
Yeah, it does.
It's a C4.
Oh, this is C4?
Oh, this is C4.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's a great song. Well, shit.
How do you follow that?
How do you follow... So, Andy!
Whoa, hey, yes, sir.
Back into the show.
Yeah, back into the show. Andy, you know, we've known you. How long have we known you?
Probably 11 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
Well, it was like 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we met summer of 09.
Okay, yeah.
So, pushing 12 years now.
Yeah. Jeez.
At Album the Party.
It was. I remember Joe Shelby, our good friend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, Andy, you got to come down. He's like, probably like, I know you. It's hard to get you out of the house, but you need to come down, see these guys, meet these guys. It's going to be a fun party. You'll have fun. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. Because I was seeing album flyers, like, you know, toward the end of Superbird, I would see flyers for Album. And I was like, okay. Album? I'm seeing the band Album, okay.
Okay.
Well, so then I came to that party, and then
then
I met you pretty quickly, and I'm like, wow, he's real nice. I like that dude a lot. Anyway, then I progressed, and it was a really fun time, but then you guys were in the garage before you were playing, listening to music. I'm like, these guys, they're playing the Sleep, Holy Mountain, and Danzig first record, and I'm like, I should know who these guys are.
We're pretty hip dudes.
I'm not saying that was like super.
I'm not going that far.
No, I don't know where I'm going.
Though. We're both in Columbiana County.
So that
was pretty cool.
Because you would hear people, like when you're in bands, you would hear dudes in other towns that were playing in bands and stuff like that.
True.
But then when you guys started to play, I was like, whoa. I wasn't expecting that. And it was like, these guys kind of remind me of Black Sabbath and Grand Funk Railroad.
That was a big, party.
That was a big party.
Yeah, that was
at me at Josh and I's parents' house.
That's
but don't tell them. Don't tell them we said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one time I said to your mom, like, something like that part. There was a part.
Did you really do that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he was he was like, yeah, there's probably about 50 people there, which is... very short of how many there was, so.
Oh my God,
dumb.
It was okay.
They don't listen to.
They never brought it. No, they never brought it.
Okay,
but they don't listen to.
They don't know what a podcast is.
Okay, that's good. Someone's gonna hear this.
This will
be
the first one they check out.
I know our cousin Austin listens, and if he tells them, I'm gonna get you.
Yeah,
he's not.
No,
but anyway.
That
whole night, and it was extremely fun party. Joe left. Before that, I think I drove separately. I had to have, and then I hung out as long as I could. And then the next time I saw you guys was at it was at a show that you guys were doing at Farmer Casey's Ranch at the Purple Cat. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and then then I hung out with you a little bit, Jason, and then that Winfield. I think you and I got to talk a little bit that time, and Josh, and then we were talking and stuff, and kind of.
Yeah.
That was the way I got to become friends with the boys.
Well, geez, I mean, after that, honestly, it was like just hung out.
Yeah,
I mean,
we just started
like we already knew each other. You know?
Yeah. And we would have mutual hangouts up at Joe and Lori's, That was a lot of fun. And
going over there after shows.
Yeah.
A lot. Good old table hanging.
Yeah, table hanging.
Yep, that was a fun time.
A lot of that. Here's the deal. We're from Columbiana County. You're from Columbiana County, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're a Columbiana kid, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, That's weird.
Why?
I don't know. You migrated up to Youngstown and started kicking around there a lot.
Yeah.
At some point.
Absolutely. That happened. And I remember your brother mentioned that he kind of associated me with the Poland guys.
He did, yeah.
And that makes sense because by that time I would have been like hanging out with Shane Wagner, you know, my one best friend Shane. And then Alex Taco was in that band too, like Hood Face it was. There was a punk band and then... Then there was Monolith, and then that would have been then, and that was total Poland.
Okay.
So that made...
When was that? Do you remember?
That would have been like 93.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you?
Boy, I can't... Maybe 20, 21-ish.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
It's exciting meeting other people from Columbiana County, like, because we didn't know what was going on before our time, you know.
Yeah.
And there was never a whole lot going on. You kind of would know, like... who there was, so that's why when there was this mysterious band album, I'm like, who are these guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's kind of trek back a little bit and learn a little bit about Andy, and we just kind of want to know, like,
crack open the vault.
Yeah. Like, what was something that you remember as probably, I would assume, a younger kid that you heard it or saw a movie or something that really kind of made you want to start learning to play an instrument or be involved in music and even, say, perform, because that's a whole different level of music.
Yeah, it would have been like, there was an incident like that. It was like the song Rock of Ages, you know, Def Leppard's Rock
of Ages. Yes, I know that song.
When it came out, I was a kid and I'm like, wow. I'm like, I love those guitars. I got to do this. I got to play music. This would have been when that song actually did come out. So that was back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Well, my parents got me an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Not, you know, that's not even close to an electric guitar.
Yeah.
And I did not stick with it very long.
Really?
Yeah. My sister was much better than I was on it, so it really made me not want to stick with it. Yeah, so then...
Nice.
I'm like, I gotta do that. Well, then some time went by, and I would twiddle with acoustic guitar and stuff like that, but then... What happened was, like, when I moved back from Wisconsin to Ohio, I met my friend Brian Bacon, who's a brilliant musician, such a good songwriter, the best keyboard player I ever met. And even back when we were in sixth grade, he was a fantastic musician. He could write and he could play. And it was like, so I'm like, I like to make music. And he's like, well, yeah, I play keyboards and I write songs. And so we started, we had our like first band, you know, it was like two dudes in middle school. And I really, really liked doing that. And then eventually Brian moved away to Poland. And then I heard that he started a band with these other dudes, which Shane Wagner was involved with.
Okay.
And I'm like, at that point, I was like, I'm buying a bass. I have to play bass guitar and get in a band. And that's what I'm going to do. And because I got to. I have no choice now. Yeah.
So that was like in middle school, you said?
The middle school was like when Brian and I were writing our, like, you know, kids' songs. And his songs were really actually good. I have hours of that stuff, and we wrote a lot of it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But then, then it wasn't until Brian Bacon moved back to Poland. Then I heard he was, you know, playing in a band. And I heard the band, they were called Mean Red Linus. And it was really good. It was, like, punky, but it was real, it just was good for the time. I don't really know how else to describe it.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's how it started. I got a bass guitar, and I'm like, I got to learn how to play this. I had a lesson, some lessons at school. Ken Cooper actually gave me some bass lessons back when I was a kid. And then it just went from there.
Yeah. So Big Red Line, you joined Big Red Linus?
Mean Red Linus. No, I didn't.
Sorry.
But what I did is I got up to speed on bass guitar quick enough to where, like, me and my buddy Ed Fleeson and my friend Bob Burbick, we're in high school at this point, and we started a band.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
So this is your first band?
First band, yeah. And we called it Macabre.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Cool. Well, anyway, we quickly found out, of course, there's a ton of other bands named Macabre.
Yeah.
Well. So we changed it to Puppet Face, and that is the first.
Puppet Face. Yeah. That's a good one.
Well, you know, there was no internet. You didn't know. I mean, you had
how
to
are you supposed to know?
Macabre,
you
know. Eventually we saw it at a music store or something. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. And then Puppet Face was like this, Ed Fleeson, who was the drummer in Puppet Face, and my dear, dear friend, he would make this really irritating looking face, and we would call it a Puppet Face, so we just named the band Puppet Face.
That's awesome.
So that was me, Ed Fleeson, and Bob Burbick, and then we got a vocalist. And that would have been a guy named Steve Berkey. And that would have been like 1989, I suppose. And Steve Berkey was from North Jackson. And somehow, back then, it was like you knew all the other punks and skaters and other schools, just somehow you knew those guys, everyone. So you would end up, you could get singers and musicians from other towns and stuff. So that's how we did that. And that was Puppet Face. First show we played was in 1989. Josh or Jason, I believe that, that first track is actually.
Yeah, I have a Puppet Face song.
Oh, cool.
Called Backstab.
Yeah, it was. No, it was kind of like, you know, punk, hardcore. You know, what you do with your first band. Yeah, this is live.
This is from your first show?
This is from the very first show I ever played in my life here.
Wow.
Is it the Grange Hall in Canfield?
Hey, yeah. Josh and I played there many years, you know, years later.
Bob Rubick on guitar.
You were on bass.
I was on bass.
You were doing no vocals by this
No point. Vocals you yet. Had a, yes, okay. That is correct.
Oh, this is awesome.
Were there a lot of people at this show?
There was a lot of people, and I'll tell you why. Because, like, we had a whole bunch of people from Kent, Ohio come down to see this show.
Oh. Okay.
It was you back in the day, you would do that, too. There would be people would travel, like, from Kent to come see a show, or you would go to Kent to see a show. And then, so we were opening for a band called The Februaries, which was a big band back then. That they played, like, good alternative music. But I was real good friends with those guys in that band. I would, like, shoot video for them and do stuff like that.
Okay.
So he let us open for them, and
that's a nice first show. That's a nice place. That's like a big stage, like a high up stage and stuff on there.
Were you allowed to use the basement?
I did not see the basement.
The basement when we played, it was like we used as a backstage kind of.
Oh really? Area, was that the Rydells?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay.
I actually dropped the Marshall cab down the steps and broke the handle on it.
Oh yeah, I remember the handle just snapped off in his hand.
That sucks.
So, what were some other genres of music being played at maybe guys your age?
Yeah.
Playing, you know, when you guys are doing this music, Puppet Face.
Yeah.
What else was kind of going on?
That was like, the Februaries was like the big band that would like get a big draw at Cedars. But then there were other bands like that came a little bit before this. Like, the band Sacred Hate was just kind of almost wrapping up around that point. That was a really important band to everybody around the area. They were like, you know, they knew what they were doing. And we would go to the Penguin Pub before we were old enough to get in there. We would like stand outside and listen to them because they couldn't get in. But and that was like, you know, Danny Banzak was in that on vocals. Bryn Zellers was a drummer in that band, my good friend. So there was that, and that was kind of wrapping up. Then there was other bands, like, I remember that I liked a lot, like Gutter Snipes. That was a little before, though.
Yeah.
Sarge was in that band, if you know Sarge.
Okay.
He's a legendary dude. He's a sweet dude. I'm trying to think who else. It's kind of hard to remember that sometimes. Yeah. A band called Scarlet Picnic was, like, around at that point.
Were there any other bands in your high school?
That's the thing, no.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Yeah, so that was it. Well, no, they were older kids. That was one of the things that made me ever want to play was, like, these older kids had this band, and my dad would let them practice in a church basement.
Oh, okay.
They were called Sasquatch, and they'd play, like, Metallica and Slayer, and they had their original songs, too. And Ken Cooper was in that band. He played guitar, and he was really good. And that band was super cool. I would go watch them practice. And then I was also like, you know what? That was right before I started to play bass, too. And I'm like, I got to get in on the ground level. And, like, bass is probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry if that was boring.
That'd be probably pretty...
No, it wasn't boring at all. Pretty cool. It was interesting.
Pretty cool as a kid, you know, this hard rock band playing in the church basement. You know,
they were metal. They were metal. You could say they were metal. Yeah. And the church people didn't like it. Eventually, they weren't allowed to do it anymore.
Right,
my dad was always like, you know, like wanted to like the youth was. He was like, you know, a pastor and wanted to be like help out the youth. And even if they were like, you know, those hoodlum kids,
at least they had somewhere safe to.
Keep them off the streets.
Right.
Let's see what else we got here, Winfield.
What else do we have here? Well, I was wondering, you know, you claim. No, I'm kidding. What were your musical influences? I mean, what were you listening to at the time? You were going to see shows, but what did you like musically as a younger person?
like right before I started to play bass and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, well, you, I mean, obviously, I mean, we could say this and I can confirm it because one time I was over at Vic's and you guys were like putting on Def Leppard records. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, this shit's so good. And I remember being like, yeah, it's Def Leppard. So you like Def Leppard.
I mean, I didn't actively.
You love Def Leppard.
I mean, yeah, but I didn't actively like totally listen to it all the time. Me and my buddy would drive around listening to that one winter. So I have a heavy association
of that
second era of Def Leppard. Why are you making me say that?
Look at you made him admit.
No, wait, but
I also really liked, I loved Beastie Boys, like License to Ill, and I loved Run DMC, Raising Hell. I think that album and that first Public Enemy album, I was listening to like a lot of that. And then what happened was my friend kind of started getting a punk, and you know, that's real contagious once you hear it and you're a young person.
For sure.
Yeah. And then I remember the song One came out by Metallica, and that was a huge thing. I'm like, wow, I think I really like metal. I love these guitars crunching like that, and that's just something about this. I think I like metal. And then my one Ed Fleason, my friend who I was talking about, who was the drummer in Puppet Face, and later to be the drummer in Dissenter. You know, his older brother Sam, like, was the gatekeeper to all this amazing, really obscure death metal stuff. Not heavy metal. Sam liked death metal, and then Ed's brother Paul liked heavy metal. So I was exposed to both sides. I didn't like heavy metal very much. In fact, I would get irritated every time I
like
would
hear it. Like the DOS?
Yeah, the Maiden sound.
Yeah, you
but
didn't
I liked
that
death
stuff.
Metal. Ed's brother was like, you like Metallica? There's heavier stuff than that. Guitars go like this. They go the same. But there's heavier than that. I'm like, really? What is that? And he played me like Obituary and the band Death and stuff like that.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, yeah. Those could, so
that's pretty hardcore shit.
I got into that very quickly.
I was going to say, that's pretty early getting into that music.
Yeah.
But at I guess a lot of that was just kind of coming out. At the, like Obituary probably being around for a little bit. But
it was really right when it was all coming out.
Yeah, had to have been fairly new, fresh ideas.
It was. So I was like playing bass, and I love playing like, you know, punk stuff, like Misfits and other stuff. But then once we came to the band Misled Truth, which Puppet Face kind of evolved into the band Misled Truth. Sorry, once again, if I'm boring.
Oh, no way, man.
No.
Okay, and
more info.
I'm gonna play the Misled Truth.
Okay, cool.
While you talk.
Sweet.
About. Yeah.
So that was Ed Fleason once again on drums. That was me on bass guitar, and our older friend Jeff Ritterspaugh, who was this a really sweet guitar player. He played like Kerry King in the style of Kerry King, but his own thing, and it was great. And then Steve Berkey was on vocals, who was in Puppet Face, but eventually we got a different vocalist, and that was Nate Offerdahl.
Oh, yeah.
So he came...
Oh, is this some of the stuff you posted on Instagram
just
that one
a little clip that one time,
I remember listening to it.
Yeah.
Like, this is pretty cool, man.
Okay. So that's what this is,
So this is Nate right here?
Yes. So that was Misled Truth. And me and Ed, like, knew we wanted to get heavier, and we knew we wanted to... We wanted to make death metal. We just straight up did.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Ritterspaugh loved thrash metal, you know, and heavy metal. So we could only drag him so far. And he was so good, too.
Yeah.
It was like, but eventually what happened was, I forget, too. For some reason, Nate then wasn't in the band. And then Rob Eckley was our vocalist. Now, any of you guys ever hear of Rob Eckley?
He
was an East Palestine punk kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my good friend at the time. I haven't seen him in many, many years. So then that was still like Misled Truth. Well, it all fell apart. Me and Ed are like... I knew I had to play guitar in order to continue with anything.
Yeah.
So I just learned guitar as quick as I could and faked my way through it, learning death metal stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to jump in. The
fastest music you could play.
I didn't do a very good job, but we tried. But Misled Truth was cool. One time we played at our high school, like for our senior show. Did you guys ever do that in high school? You could do like a thing if you were into things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever do it playing a band?
We were able to do like fun nights. I think they were called on Friday.
Oh yes,
on Friday
fun nights. I remember going to fun nights.
And sometimes
you played fun nights that I went to.
It'd be like the band plays like right when the football game's over. All the students, if you want, you could go and do the school and watch a band play.
Yeah.
Instead of like a sock hop or something.
Did you guys do that? Any of the bands that you were in?
Yeah, Rydell's and
I think it was just
probably just them.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
I think I remember the Wounded Hunters, that CD sitting right there. I think they might have did one too.
Yep.
Oh, those guys are your friends?
Not friends. They were just like kind of acquaintances at the time. Cool.
They were a couple years older than us in high school, and they just kind of.
Beaver Local?
Yeah.
The one dude's from, I think one or two of them, Beaver Local, and the other guys are from Chester.
Chester.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Chester,
West Chester. Virginia.
Chester, West Virginia.
So.
Sorry.
No. So, you're still in high school at this point with Misled Truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been like really right toward the end of it, though, like 1991-ish.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, but things move so fast when you're young, you know, you change bands, and like, when you guys think back on it, didn't it feel like it was a couple years, but it was really like maybe a year would have went by, and
in like, yeah, like with the early bands and
it just
stuff.
Seems yeah. like that.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of places were you playing?
We would do the thing where, like, we played at, like, some place in Niles. I don't remember. It was a bar, but it was, like, an all-ages show still somehow. Or maybe I have that wrong. Maybe it wasn't a bar, but it kind of looked like it. But it was a fun venue, and it was a good show. But other shows, like, it didn't last long enough to do a ton of shows with that band.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh.
And then, yeah, that basically fell apart. And then all the other bands came after that.
Nice. Right.
Well, so that's the early yes. Andy formative period. So after Misled Truth, which seems to be kind of the high watermark of a particular era here, did you change your approach to this, or did you reassess what you were wanting out of the experience of playing music and being a performing artist? Because it seems like you kind of ran a course with this type of stuff at that point. Or did you just stick to the formula and continue to try to do death metal bands?
Greetings! This is Josh of Album the Band and Album the Podcast. And on behalf of Album, I want to give a big thanks to all of you for supporting Album and listening to the podcast. We truly appreciate each and every one of you. Please rate, review, subscribe, and comment on the platform of your choosing. For more information about Album the Band, such as audio, video, merchandise, and social media links, go to albumtheband.com. And remember, album spelled backwards is good time party, yeah!
Before we get too deep into this party, I just want to thank the hard hats here at Key Steel for letting us use their place of business, and a special thanks to my brother for giving me my first Dragon record because he hated it, and to my mom and dad for letting me play it as loud as I wanted to. All right, let's get back into our conversation with Andy Conrad.
Yeah, well, some like Misled Truth ended, and like I said, we no longer had a guitar player, so I knew I had to play guitar.
So you had to learn it, yeah.
But then at the same time, like, I graduated high school, and God bless my mother, she got me for high school graduation my Tascam 488. And it was an 8-track cassette multi-track recorder. And I knew at that point that, like, I'm like, I want to get involved with recording music, and yeah. I want to make music. So it started at that point. I'm like, okay, so guitar is a big part of that. Me and Ed are going to start a band. It's just going to be me and him. That way we know that we can just get this recorded. We know what we want to do. And that became Dissenter. And we did the first demo of Dissenter is what that was. And then that wasn't that good, to be honest with you. We were both still kind of learning it. I'm glad that one's really not out there on the internet.
Like learning how to use the equipment, the task.
And to play brutal riffs and to make it sound like it's not corny or something.
It was just you two guys?
Us two. So I would do bass guitar too and do vocals as well. Ed would do drums. But then we recorded the second Dissenter demo, which was called Crematory Consecration in 1992, and that was during the tape trading days, back in the days before the internet. Like, dudes, you would like go to Wild Rags magazine, you would turn to the back, and you would see guys that wanted to tape trade with you, and you would send them stuff, you would dub stuff off them, maybe your original stuff, and send it off. And you know, you'd usually, everyone that did that was cool, they send you stuff back, and you would build collections that way. And as bands, you could get yourselves known through tape trading and through this magazine called Wild Rags, and that's kind of what happened with Dissenter.
Huh.
Nice. I'm going to play the Dissenter song.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I like the Dissenter stuff. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then that ended up going up on YouTube. A couple different people put that up. Like Ken's Death Metal Crypt is like, it's up there. You know, I never put that up because I'm not proud of the cover. I just got to say, if anyone goes to check it out.
Oh, the Dissenter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why, what is it? Is it real bloody and gross?
I was 19. I wanted to piss off as many people as I could, especially like older people and normies, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So is this what I'm playing now, like one of the first recordings you did on the 8-track you got for graduating?
Yeah, this is after I kind of figured out how to record it, how to do what, you know, with what bad mics and equipment I had. But I did have an ART Multiverb Alpha, which was an effects processor, and I was able to do cool stuff that, like, probably other people doing home recordings might not be able to do. It was not as good as an Eventide, or an Eventide, rather, but, like, it was a good effects processor. And you're hearing a lot on there, those pitch effects.
Okay.
And so, did you go into the learning how to record and do that type of stuff just by, I mean, did you take courses in high school? I mean, did you know anything about it? Or did you teach yourself everything? Just read the fucking manuals and...
A lot of experimentation, but I had an older friend named Ed Milich. He was this really good bass player from another band. We're talking about contemporary bands. And so, well, there was a band called Bloodbath from Austintown. And Ed Milich was a bass player in that band. And they were like a really good like thrash metal band. It was fun.
Oh,
well, he like showed me that, like, he's like, yeah, you can record at home. You get this and you get this. You're going to need a compressor. Here's a good microphone. This mic that I'm using, he was the guy.
You're just talking about that.
Yeah, so he like kind of mentored me a little bit trying to figure it all out. Then once I went from there, it's kind of a lot of experimentation and hopefully you get it right sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even when I was in high school, not too many kids had a recording technology. It wasn't very popular, or just didn't want to get into it, or I don't know.
Yeah, it
wasn't
like,
around.
And it was cost prohibitive, too. Mm-hmm.
Did you have anybody, like, want you to record their band?
Yeah. That would happen, too. And I wanted to record other people's bands, too. When I got that recorder, the Tascam 488, like, you know, I was friends with Matt Trahan and Ken Picklesheimer and Rob Musser. They had a band.
Oh, yeah.
And it was called Acid Fly. So I'm like, I forget how it worked out. And then Vic Augustine, my other best friend, Vic Augustine, was instrumental in me, like, meeting Matt and those guys. Because he knew them through Rob Musser.
Yeah.
Because Vic was in New Water for a hot minute.
Yeah.
Just for a hot minute there. So then I, you know, we recorded the Acid Fly demo at Matt Trahan's house in Lake Tomahawk.
Yes.
Ah. Right down the road from my and Winfield Lake.
Yeah. What year was that? Do you remember? Had to have been like 92, 93.
That would have been actually 91. That was like the first thing I actually recorded for another band was that Acid Fly demo.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. To put some of that on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. And it was, they had, the songs were cool. And yeah, when that one fires up, I had a hard time picking which one too, you know?
That's good then. That was probably a good different experience for you to not have to think about playing.
Yeah,
you know.
It was.
Yeah. Did you like that?
Yeah.
I did like that. I liked that a lot. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, we didn't have great microphones and this and that and the other, but we would, you know, it was fun enough to where I just kept wanting to go and go and go and try to make it sound a little better and better and better. And I didn't do a great job, if I may say, but...
Hey, you used what you had. And
yeah, for an amateur with some, you know, thrown together equipment, it's pretty cool.
It's listenable, at least.
Yeah.
What year is this?
This would have been 91. Yeah,
91. Okay.
I remember looking at the cover recently. And I think that, like, then Matt duplicated all that. You know, Matt did all the artwork. He duplicated the cassettes and stuff. And I remember you could buy him an Underdog Records that was by Best Driving School on South Avenue or Southern Boulevard, I forget which, but back in the day, that's where that was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Huh. So, you're now you've now exited high school. You've got some bands under your belt. You've got some recording experience. Did you go to YSU?
I did.
What did you go to school for?
I started off as I was an art major, and then I changed about halfway through to telecommunications studies. So I did get audio and video production formally trained to a degree. But, you know, in those programs, you don't, like, learn how to record a band or anything like that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So I just kept trying to learn what I could when I could. And
do you think the recording and music stuff that you had been doing influenced you to do that in school, to go in that direction?
Yeah, I knew. I just, at the same time, with music, I also loved video. I knew I just also loved video. I loved making video. I loved trying to edit video. So I'm like, well, this is what I'm going to do, telecom. It's audio and video. We'll see what happens. Art, I adored doing, and I did minor in studio art, but I started to think about, wow, what do I do, though, afterwards? Like, telecom, I might be able to get a job at a TV station.
Sure,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever work at a TV station?
I did, like, right out of college. I did work at WFMJ, for six years.
What did you do there?
I was a TV director there. I would direct newscasts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So you would have the production switcher, you know, right there, and then the audio people, the producer behind you, and you would call the shots on the show. It was, like, nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I was going to say about, like, 2 hours of... 2 or 3 hours of pulling your hair out.
Luckily, the shows were only, like, 30 minutes or maybe an hour.
Okay.
But you're still nerve-wracking, man. Yeah. Just, boy,
was there a lot of, like, prep time for that?
You were supposed to get prep time, but quite often the producers would dump a big script on your table, your desk, like, 5 minutes before you were going on the air, so you'd have to rifle through them and try to mark everything up. And you knew you were making mistakes, and you knew you weren't looking at stuff good while you're doing it, so you knew it wasn't going to be a smooth show, and it wasn't your fault, and that was so stressful. Yeah, oh, man, I'll have a nightmare tonight thinking about it.
So, you moved to Youngstown. Didn't you used to live right downtown?
Yes, I did, on West Federal, one of the buildings that aren't there anymore. And then I also lived in an apartment right on the west side for a while, too. So, yeah, like, 2 times I lived in Youngstown.
Yeah. And when you were living... You lived there throughout the 90s, went to school, and then... So, what was going on? Did you have a main musical act that you were a part of throughout that period, or did you continue to just kind of form and reform and change up different acts throughout that time?
It was like, Dissenter, like, right after we recorded and released that demo, at my dear friend Ed Fleason, well, he went off to the Navy, so that was done with. Dissenter was done. I tried to continue.
Is that all you got out, was the two demos?
Was the two demos, okay. Yeah. Okay. And we actually, like, you know, I found out later that we had an offer from, I think it was Osmos Productions, I might have that name wrong. They wanted us to record an album for them.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, just couldn't do it. I didn't find out until years later, too. It's not like I could have. Huh. That's just how it went. So that was a French label. They wanted to, like, fly us there and record a record there.
Damn it.
Yeah, whatever. I wouldn't know you guys, probably. I wouldn't even have met you guys if that would have happened.
No, the history happens the
whatever.
Way it happens.
Yeah. So then, then I tried to get that going with some guys I knew in college. It just wasn't the same. So then, you know, my one other best friend, Shane Wagner, him and Mark Pecco and Alex Talco had a band, heavy, crunchy, moshing, mean-ass sounding band. Well, they wanted me to record their recording. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I recorded, that was the band Monolith. I recorded that for those guys. And then, you know, there were no vocals on it. And I'm like, well, I better put some vocals on here. And then so I did. I just wrote everything and put it on there and played it for those guys. And Shane was like, yeah, me and Alex knew. We all knew you were going to do that. So you're in the band now. And I'm like, okay.
Did you just, like, write the words and...
Yeah, and just sang whatever I thought and just laid it on top. You know, I had their tracks.
That is very you. That is very you. That's awesome.
Hey, when you hear it, you got to go with it. You
yeah,
know?
Fuck it.
I'm going to play Monolith.
All right, cool. That's the song Gone, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you got there... These tracks had no vocals, and they had just intended to not have any vocals on them?
Apparently all along, they knew I was going to end up putting vocals down.
Okay.
So, and I could be wrong there. I'll have to ask Shane when I talk to him next time, but they had this, you know, so I recorded, and this recording was interesting. I mean, it's very dated sounding.
Yeah.
You know, listen, that kick, Jay.
I was gonna say something about that kick. Nice and smacking.
Oh, yeah.
So what that was, like, we wanted that Pantera Vulgar Display of Power kick and the Injustice for All kick.
Well, you did a good job using your 4-track and probably what
mic
or your 8-track, I mean, but
thank you.
Your mic, you know, what your the equipment you had.
No, and that was real hard to record because that was in Alex's mother's house basement. It was all concrete, so it was so reflective.
Right.
I couldn't get a punchy sound, so I had to do stuff like I had to use the ART to get, like, dial in a certain really fast reverb to get it to tap right in.
Oh, okay.
It was weird.
Okay.
But it kind of worked.
So this is you singing.
Yeah.
In there. Awesome.
You're a criminally underrated vocalist. You know that?
Oh man, I don't know about that.
You
but
are.
Thank you.
You're always like, my vocals on this, or I didn't want to put vocals. This is just a placeholder. I'm always like, dude, that's really fucking good, man.
Oh man, thank you.
So once they heard this, did you guys start playing out?
Yeah. And so this is Shane Wagner on guitar. Yeah, I already mentioned it. Alex Talco on bass. Mark Pecco on drums. We started playing shows, and we this was a band we did a fair amount of shows with.
Okay.
You know, we would travel, like, to other places and do shows when we could. And there were a couple cool venues back in Youngstown, like JB's. We played there one time. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Is it still there?
I don't know.
Is that on the south side?
I thought that was on... Yeah. No, it's not. Okay. It was on Glenwood or something. I could be wrong.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, I think this band, we played the Penguin Pub. What was the second pub? It was the pub down under? Oh. West Pub West End. Oh, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting that. Everybody, they're going to be like... Pyatt Street. Down.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we weren't in that
right.
In the area.
I'm older than you. I'm older compared to you guys. I straight out of mold. I am.
Well, you keep our demographics up in the 45 to 59 range.
Every week I do. Every week.
Yeah.
So, wait, there was no, what's that place that everybody constantly talks about?
The Nye Bingi.
Oh, yeah.
So Monolith, like, was before Nye Bingi.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of figured.
Yeah.
Cedars was there, though.
Yes, Cedars was there, and we did play, all the venues that were there we would play, and it was a lot of fun, and it was probably, like, maybe the most successful band we had. You know, people would come to see it. They liked the... some people probably got real annoyed with us, but...
Why?
Yeah, well, that's good. Because, like, hollering vocals and crunch... I don't know. I was probably being... My inner critic was being a jerk.
So if you're playing, say, at Cedars, who else would you be kind of playing with? A band of similar
Coin
genre?
Monster. We would have a lot of shows with Coin Monster. Yeah, it's like, John Reeder. I love calling him John. John, he's, you know, a good friend of the band, and we were a good friend of the Coin Monster band, all those guys. And, you know, we would get together and do a lot of shows, and that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, those guys are really nice. I met them a couple years ago at a Pabsolutely.
Yes.
And me and John, like, became friends that day because of Andy Connor.
That's
it was just
awesome.
Like, you know Andy? I know Andy. Oh, he's such a nice guy.
Come on.
And then he had to borrow a bunch of guitar stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I had to give him a hard time.
We played with them at
Pabsolutely.
Yeah, it was like the first time they'd reunited in a very, very long time or something like that. I remember that show. That was cool.
They forgot a guitar strap, a guitar cable, and then the bass guitar fell. A 5-string bass fell out of the truck on the way.
Oh.
And they were, like, searching for all this stuff,
holy,
like, right
shit.
Before.
Well.
It's like, I can help you with everything but the 5-string.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
I remember you saying that. Now.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
So what happened with Monolith then?
What happened with Monolith was, like, stuff happens. We had our little window.
Yeah.
But then, like, Shane moved up to Cleveland.
Okay.
So then we got my good friend Kevin Glass came and played guitar. And then we changed the name to Phobos.
Okay.
So it was kind of like Monolith, but it was we, you know, where it's like, this is enough of a different of a band that we should change the name.
Mm-hmm.
So we changed it to Phobos, and that was, like, similar songs. We started writing more, maybe more psychedelic sounding, like, was probably a lot more influences were coming in that I liked a lot, like Cathedral and Helios Creed and Monster Magnet.
Okay.
But it was still kind of like, you know, this, it was still kind of metal-ish. I wouldn't call that some metal, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Were you kind of the main songwriter in Phobos?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. When it came to Phobos, I would write the songs.
I know you and Chain worked together.
Absolutely.
A lot.
And
so
Monolith, that was mostly Shane and Alex writing that stuff. I would contribute riffs, and I did have a song or two, but for the most part, that was like Shane churning out those riffs and, you know.
Yeah.
So are you, by the time this Phobos starts, have you started to drift away from those earlier influences of, like, you know, Obituary?
Yeah. So, and I think you can start hearing it in this, but, like, you know, I would start going to Purple Frog Records and hanging out with Al Simonis. And he would, you know, I would play him stuff I recorded and be like, that's cool, man. I really like that. It sounds really good, too, man. But he's like, it's a little heavy for me. He's like, I like it when you sing and it sounds drifty. And I was like, ooh, I'm getting positive reinforcement and good feedback from like an older guy who like I respect so much I can't even put into words.
Right.
So I would go home and I would try to write, and that's when I started to really get into more of like, you know, like bands like Black Sabbath and Grand Funk and all, you know, a lot of the good classic rock, but then also like the underground psychedelic stuff that was more hard to get a hold of, but like Al would kindly make me tapes and give them to me, and study that stuff up.
Yeah, Josh was always down at Purple Frog. Yeah, I spent a lot of time Purple Frog in high school.
Yeah.
Get out of school and drive out there and
buy. You have a good, do you have a specific, like, good memory of doing that?
Yeah. I would be able to go by myself, stand and talk to him, or even if I went with friends, we'd just go and talk to him. I don't really have too many particular memories, except I do remember one time he was, I do not remember how we got through the conversation, but he was talking about the reasons why he prefers smoking grass to drinking alcohol. And, you know, and his example was, you know, if you're drinking, if I was walking through the store, I might be like bumping into the stuff. But, you know, if I'm smoking, I don't know. He just had a way of putting it that was different. And, you know, and being young, you have no idea anything about smoking at all. So hearing a dude who owns a record store and everything, and he's been telling me just how he, you know, get home, get a little buzz and cut the grass and just do, and I'm like, huh, people do that?
Yeah, Al lived a life like that too. Like
I mean, I was like 16. I just got my license and was going up and stocking up on my Pink Floyd records and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I didn't mean live a life like he overindulged in that. I mean, like, he would enjoy the nature.
Yeah, I did, you man.
The things, like, simple things like mowing the lawn and stuff like that. He was a very, and he became a huge influence on me, and I started to really get in all that stuff, and then he would play me his music, and I was like, whoa, I love this so much. Guess what? I'm going to try to imitate this.
Yeah.
And I would write songs, and I would bring them in and play them for him, and he'd be like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Eventually, he started being like, I really like this. And I was like, oh, I was so happy. Then I started to, like, he was having a live band for one of, he wanted to put together a record that had other musicians on it so we could have like a live band. Mm-hmm. So he would have me over and I was part of that. I think, what record did that become? Balloon Ride?
Balloon
perhaps?
Ride,
okay. Yeah, I played bass and did some vocals here and there.
That's you played on two of his albums.
I did, yes.
But Balloon Ride's the one where you even sing on it.
Yeah, on the one track, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Did he record that just in the shop?
He recorded that at his farmhouse studio, and he had this really cool, you know, reel-to-reel quarter-inch machine and all analog outboard gear and nice old stuff and old reel pedals and old reel amps and old reel guitars. It was like going into a wonderland over there to do that. I mean,
right.
And just on top of that, him being such a lovely human being too, you know.
It's probably quite the experience, you know, this guy like likes your music now, and you finally, now you're getting to like play with him.
Yeah, I was.
He's recording you at his studio.
You got
probably
it,
pretty
man.
Influential, I would say.
Yeah.
Aren't some of his psych records kind of collector's items?
Yeah.
That guy is legitimately legendary in certain circles. I'm pretty fucking sure. Yep.
Josh got it. A couple years ago. Right?
Yeah, I got the box set online the other a couple years ago.
It was expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah.
I went through the wrong sources to get it. I like was digging around trying to find it when all I really had to do is probably search like hisname.com.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like that, and bought it probably direct from
whoever.
Didn't yours come from like Russia?
Yeah, mine came, you know, mine was like a,
you had to buy like a mail order bride plus a box, house moon box set.
Right, exactly. Her skeleton's still in the basement. But
Jesus!
Sorry.
It's not really.
Yeah. It's in the attic.
He's moved.
Wait, what?
Whatever. Mail order bride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Dead in Josh's old house.
Right.
All right.
There's no mail order bride. No, but there is a box set, and it's really good.
That is cool.
And it's cool seeing young pictures of Andy, knowing him now, and you see this thing, and he talks about you, I think, in either that record or within the book of the box set he mentioned to you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is, and very sadly, a few years ago, Al passed away.
Yep, rest in peace.
Yes.
So, this guy has kind of instilled a psychedelic tinge in you, and that's very clearly as I can hear this piece of music. It's quite deviated from your earlier
works. Okay, it's interesting you can see that.
But yeah, for sure. So, are you at this point feeling that you're probably going to pursue that direction more and more and let go more and more of the harder death metal type stuff?
Or, yes.
Yeah? You've come to that conclusion by this point.
Yeah, I remember real quickly, like, I just remember almost within a year, I was like, just...
I don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah, I just didn't. And I love that sort of thing. And then I had my own thing going, so I was trying to imitate Al, and my thing was called Magic Lantern. That was like the name of my project.
Sorry to interrupt, Andy, but let's pause this interview and pick it back up on the next episode of Album the Podcast, where we discuss Magic Lantern and the other musical ventures in the life of Andy Conrad.
Stick around and we'll be right back.
Hey folks, it's Winfield here. I'm just taking a step into Timmy and Tommy Tires here. They gave me a coupon for a free tire rotation. And because they're sponsors of the podcast that I'm in, and I'm just going to go in here and see how these boys are doing, just check in on them. Hey there, how's it going?
Oh, hey there, Winfield, what's going on, man?
Oh, just came in to redeem this tire rotation coupon.
Oh, good, thank you. We appreciate you coming in, and we appreciate you being... You know, having us on your show.
Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate all the sponsorship that you provide us. Say, where's your brother?
Oh, he's out in the back. One second. Tell me, get your ass out here! He'll be out here in just 2 seconds. I mean, I really appreciate you coming in. We don't see your face around here too much.
No, you know, it's a little bit out of my way, but I figured, what the hey? A free tire rotation is worth the drive.
Get a burrito right across the street.
All right, just finish that up there, and I'll be right back.
We're pulling in your car right now.
Okay, hey, there's
hey, Tommy. Guys, how's it going?
Hey, Tommy, how's it going, bud?
Winfield, what are you doing here?
Oh, just came to redeem, as I said earlier, just came in to redeem this coupon.
Well, I was in the back. I can't hear what's going on here with all those mechanic machines, and I don't know what's going on.
That's true. There is a lot of noise.
They're pulling the car out right back in.
Yeah, Craig. Cousin Craig.
He'll have your car pulled up in just a lickety split.
That's great. How's his dad, your uncle? Terry.
Terry. Terry. I'd rather.
We don't want to talk about Terry Tire.
He's in a little trouble with the law.
Not
on,
oh, really?
Not on air. Not
oh,
on air.
No. That sounds terrible. Well, anyway, you know, I really appreciate your guys being a sponsor of our podcast, and I hope you guys, you know, enjoy the podcast if you've ever listened to it.
I think my niece told me about it once. She said it was funny. Are you guys the dude... You have a young little girl that with that has like a sad ponytail. She did, is that your guys?
No.
Oh,
I remember she said something about you guys eating cake on the air.
We did do that.
I thought, well, that's where we're sponsoring those guys.
Yeah. All right.
But I will say that since we've been on the show, that the sales have gone up.
Really?
And, man, these tires are flying off the shelf back.
Yep. And, you know, we do put your music on in the back. You know, old Craig, he's always asking if he can listen to it. And we're always like, dude, listen to whatever you want.
He likes that hard rock, man.
He likes
that AC/DC.
Have you ever heard Motley Crue, man?
ZZ Top, man. He gets a little rocking back.
Man, sometimes. Really all that stuff.
Huh. Well, that's great. You know, I'm going to pop over and get a burrito over at Pilot Roadshow. So, how long you think this is going to take?
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Hey, Craig, how long you think this going to take? Damn it, Craig!
Oh, he said about 10 more minutes. So you probably got it.
I've got plenty of time.
You got plenty of time.
Yeah, they're real quick over there.
Run over there. Show. Hey, tell him we sent you. The spokesman over there, he's real nice. Feller.
Yeah, Feller's
comes
a cool
over
dude.
Here all Feller the time. Rocha.
I love Feller.
He don't have a car, but we got the pop machine here that has that code bridge stuff.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Who doesn't?
I know.
Any last word from you guys before I head over
there? Well, we just want to say real quick, you know, we're going to be expanding the business. Within the next few weeks, we're going to be opening up an old beater shop out back.
Yeah, if you need one of those winter beaters to get from point A to point B, you come see Timmy and Tom.
Oh, yep. We're going to have cars from as old as shit to new as hell.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to expand that business out back. It's going to be booming.
Yep. Craig's Beaters. We're letting our cousin take over this one.
Yeah,
That's a good idea. He probably needs that to pay for the legal fees for Terry. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you know anybody that needs a tire or needs some rotated, we got every kind of tire there is. Because, you know, if it ain't round,
we ain't got it.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Winfield.
Come back.
Thanks.
About 5 minutes.
We're back with Album the Podcast.
All right, man. We're getting pretty good. You guys are getting good at these bumpers.
Yeah, good job.
Oh, thanks.
The music really helps.
Yeah.
I love the song.
Yeah, this is nice. I wasn't expecting it from the intro.
This does have a Genesis vibe, doesn't it?
Yeah. What would the game be, Winfield?
Man, it's a platformer for sure.
Yeah.
It's very colorful.
What's the lead character?
Man, it doesn't have it has like a Plock feel, but I know that's not a Genesis game.
I was going to say the lead character is a silver ball.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And you just roll.
Yeah.
That's called roll them down.
Roll them down.
Roll them down.
Hi-ho silver.
Yeah. This is the electric pop ad lib.
I love it.
A5 Electric Ad-lib. Pop Ad-lib.
Whoa.
All right. Well, guys.
Segment two.
Segment two.
But before. Last week we had a... Last week...
nice ending.
Or last episode we had a good time at the Sabbath game. So I did a couple more cuts and you guys want to play again?
Yes.
Andy, you want to play too?
I do want to play.
Cool. So it's... it seems that it's just... You just shout the answer out.
Yeah.
And that's how you...
Here's how I say it. If you mess up, everybody has to... You can't say it again. Everybody has to have another...
Yeah.
You know, I'm into that.
Okay. So if you guess
that's
wrong.
A rule. Because last week, remember when I was like, I stole that off you because I don't even know. Like, that rule didn't exist, but in my head it was like, but that should be a rule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Rule number one. I'm writing this down on my Album the Podcast notepad.
Okay.
Rule number one.
The rule book of Album the Podcast.
If you get it wrong.
So one guess.
You get one guess. Everybody else has to have a guess before you get another guess.
Okay. So if you guess it wrong, then Josh and Andy get a guess before you get another guess.
Yes.
That's cool.
Gotcha.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. You're writing all that down?
Yeah, hold on.
That's a lot to write.
Jeez.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. It's all written down. Okay.
Good job.
Let's just get right into this thing.
Okay.
All right.
Got to open my mind.
Open your mind. I'm trying to figure out which one. I got three of them here.
Okay.
And then, a lightning round if we get to that. So, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, let me make sure it's turned
so
up.
So if we all tie somehow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Got the volume again?
Yep. Huh. Ready? Again, same clip. Ooh. That's a tasty note.
Okay. You got a guess? I know what album it's off of.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's going to guess first?
I'm going to guess it.
Yeah.
Over to you.
That's correct.
Damn it!
Gosh.
I knew it!
Was that your good guess? Good job, Josh.
I was going to say Junior's Eyes.
Can I play the other clips for Over to
yes,
You?
Yes, please. Motherfuck! I love this song. It's one of my favorite songs off that album.
Yeah.
Clip 3.
Oh, that would have given it away.
Yeah.
Clip 4.
Four clips. Ooh,
yeah.
Last time there's.
Would you have gotten that one, Andy?
No, no.
You don't like that album.
What record is that?
That's Never Say Die.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not that I dislike it. I just don't really listen to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should I give it a go?
Good job, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
that got my,
I will.
That got my heart.
I mean,
pumping.
It's got some poop, but.
Yeah. Well, sure.
It's got some great
don't
stuff.
We all?
Damn, good job, Josh.
Thanks.
Yeah, man.
Thanks.
Sorry, Josh. I'll turn that up for you.
Oh.
Okay. Here's the next one.
They hate it when you do this. Drives them crazy.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Whoa.
I was clicking my pen there.
So. I think I know.
Okay, I'm going to play it one more.
Yeah, let's
or you want to guess?
No, I don't want to. Not yet. Oh, wait.
Huh.
Okay.
Wow, that's not
the right note.
That's not much. Okay. That's not much.
I can move on whenever you guys are ready. I got another clip. Mm.
Give me another clip. You want another clip, Josh?
I think I got it. I just don't want to say it and ruin my...
I mean, you want me to play that first one again?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Play the second one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Who's guessing?
Yeah.
I'll let you go for it if you think you got it.
Is it Lord of This World?
Yeah, you are correct.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's
did you have that one?
Yeah, I did. Good job, man.
Well, thanks. Everyone knew it.
I knew it. Well, not... I knew it after that clip.
Yeah.
That boo.
Yeah.
I had a feeling it was off of Master of Reality, but I wasn't real sure what it was yet.
Here's the other clip I had.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah,
a dead
fourth.
Giveaway. Oh, that would have been so.
And then fifth clip I got of this one. Come, my lady,
come. Just, all right. Just let that play.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. Next one.
1-1.
Well, okay, here we go.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do the other one, too. This is fun.
Okay.
Okay, I have a preliminary thought.
Yeah.
Ready? I have to play this song in my head, though. Okay.
Wow, I'm doing bad this one.
I thought Winfield, this would have been like...
Really?
Mm-hmm. I can move to second clip if whenever you guys are
okay.
I want second clip, Josh.
Go. You can hit it, but I may yell it out if I.
Yeah, no. If you got it, you got it.
Thrill of It All.
Correct.
Damn.
Nice job. Yeah. Sabotage.
So
okay,
good,
I
man.
Knew. Oh yeah.
I know. That's one of my favorite songs too.
I like this clip a lot.
I thought that was a joke for a second, but then I was like, no, yeah. I remember there was the beat.
Third clip of that.
Oh, that's that would have helped.
Fourth.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, let's do the other. Let's do the last one too.
All right, let's do it.
So 2, Josh, 1, Andy.
Yeah.
Winfield coming in with a 0.
Yeah. Okay,
this is a lightning round. This okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one I only got 2 clips of.
Okay.
All right. But she got me on the
counter. Alright. For seriousness here, right here.
Oof.
Ready?
Wow, dude. Do you know it?
I'm gonna play the second clip.
You know it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do, too.
Winfield, you know it?
I don't.
Oh, you guys want another clip of it?
I think I know it. How about you, Joshua?
You want to say it at the same time?
Yes.
Okay, one. I'll say after three, we'll say it at
okay,
the same time.
Okay.
One, two, three.
The Wizard.
Correct.
I got my ass kicked on Black Sabbath trivia. Wow.
That does surprise me.
Yeah.
My ears, maybe my ears are just off or something. Yeah. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's been.
All right.
So good.
That was good.
Yeah, I like that part. That's a good one.
So, we're going to do a song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Back to segment two.
Back to segment two.
All right.
We got Andy with us, and we're going to kind of stick with the theme as the last episode where we're going to listen to a really popular band and find out.
From a particular era.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the new metal era.
I guess the new metal era.
Yeah. A band that I remember very much when they were around. I remember people having their CD and not much and being into that kind of music when it was around, but they were very popular and stayed popular for a bit, and now the singer is attempting to stay popular.
Yeah. I don't think very successfully, but...
No. It's because he changed his outfit.
Yeah.
He finally changed his outfit, and people are like, who is this guy?
Who's this guy? He doesn't have a backwards baseball cap.
Nope, or a black t-shirt and tan pants.
And tan pants.
If you don't know who we're talking about by saying that...
It's Fred Durst.
Of the Limp Bizkits.
The Durst.
Oh, the Durst.
This guy's the Durst!
I like that.
And none of us have ever owned any of their fine catalog selection.
No. I have never owned a Limp Bizkit album.
And I don't know if I could even identify a song. So this is going to be fun.
Wow.
Go ahead. The big hit was a cover. The biggest hit, I'm pretty sure, was a cover, right? The Gotta Have Faith.
I thought they had a pretty big hit with that. Did it all for the nookie.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, okay. You're right. Of course, so you can I think that heard cookie. That song.
So are we going off the first album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the Nookie off the first album?
It's the second album.
I'm going to be totally like open-minded.
Yeah.
You got to try.
Yeah.
You got
to
try.
Yeah.
The point is to like find new music to listen to when you get home.
Yeah.
And I like the thought of it's a super popular band. Why? Why did so many people like...
There's got to be something there, right?
Yeah.
Well, we all know why.
Because he wore his hat backwards?
That's what it is. So.
All right, I'm going to just... I guess I'll just shuffle it. And if it comes up on Faith, I'll skip it.
Well, with Korn last episode, we picked a cool title.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
we
should pick a cool title.
Yeah, read us some titles, please.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Intro.
No.
Oh, I think it turned off.
Oh, okay. Dang
it. The Rico machine turned off. I got that from Uncle Rick.
I kind of assumed that once you call it the Rico machine.
Pollution. Counterfeit. Stuck. Nobody loves me.
Jesus,
I mean,
dude.
He's getting stuck. At least trying.
Yeah.
Sour. Ugh. Stalemate. Clunk.
Come on.
Stink finger.
Oh, that's... I kind of want to go with
stink okay.
Finger. Indigo flow.
That's
irritating.
And then predictable. That's about it. There's a demo version of a song after that.
I think it doesn't have to... Probably is the...
Poop.
Stink finger.
Stink finger?
Turd.
Yeah, every song.
Yeah.
Clunk.
Clunk. Bonk. I mean, I'm sorry. Open mind. Maybe those song titles were appropriate for the subject matter of the lyrics.
That era, like a lot of like one word titles was a popular thing too.
Yeah.
I feel like people back in like 1997 were like really, really lazy mentally. That's what I've always gotten the impression of. The 90s were kind of just like... I was a kid.
We're just really relaxed around
here. Yeah, it was just real relaxed. And, you know, laissez-faire. Whatever, man. You know?
Was it like that, Andy?
Not really.
All right.
Everyone's all cranked up, actually.
No, but like there was a trend where, like, you know, it's like there weren't really guitar solos in a lot of songs, and like the songs would like be called like belt or something like that. Geez. So yeah, there is some of what you're talking about, but
fair.
It could be interpreted Winfield's way, I believe.
Well, let's get into this stink finger.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
The Sweet Gem.
What year did this album come out?
This album came out in 1997.
Okay.
Whoa. Yeah. That's so weird.
That is weird.
Because I had no idea.
Somehow. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Ready. Stink Finger by Fred Durst.
Josh, you might want to look up some lyrics, I bet they're going to be cool. It's getting ready to rock. Ugh.
That's like some early Pro Tools production, big time.
I don't like his whining.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Is that a banjo?
Oh, boy.
I don't know what that is.
I mean, I like that heavy, distorted vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the one thing.
I want to hear how he's going to say this next line.
Yo, Jay, drop that one down.
Yikes.
What do you think about that bass tone?
I don't like it, if I have to be honest. How about you, Josh?
He's kind of... I mean, it's crunchy.
It's crunchy. Yeah, it sounds... I don't know.
You know the guitar player for this band?
Wes Borland.
Was considered good.
Right. He dressed silly.
He did dress silly.
There's just, like, not much to this. I was hoping for it to be goofier.
Yeah, it's just kind of right of the time, era.
Maybe we should have picked Clunk.
Maybe.
Let's see what Clunk sounds like. I don't care. I'm aborting this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too... Dude, they're ripping off Rage Against the Machine right there.
Well, let's see when it kicks in.
Clunk. He's smashing beer cans on his head. Clunk. Clunk. Clunk.
Oh, DJ. There's a little...
Whoa.
Alright. Yeah, you were right.
What?
They were, like, just trying to... Rage Against the Machine, they were trying to target that as much as they could. Like, trying to ride on that.
For sure.
But with less interesting vocal patterns.
Yeah, and...
And not as interesting of guitar work.
Not even close. I suppose it's serviceable, but...
I could see why people would like this.
Yes.
Because it's dumb.
There's a lot of whispering in this stuff.
Yeah.
There is a lot of... Yeah. Whispering was got really popular.
Their faces look really intense when they're whispering.
But remember my brother was doing the rap, whatever the fuck that was? What was that stuff?
Yeah, he did like rap Churchill.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, Powerhouse.
But that was a little bit before this.
Yeah.
So there was obviously a lot of...
I kind of like the production. I kind of don't. How about you guys?
Yeah.
I think it's like what you said. It's very Pro Tools sounding. Like it has a very
It's got an amateurism to it. That
it kind of does too.
That's almost endearing. But at the same time, it's almost like, they made a lot of bad decisions too. You know what I mean? Just...
I feel like production-wise, when certain things come in, they will be like really loud, and then it'll fade away.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, that's really boring.
Whoa, low bass hit.
Oh, wow.
Like, the guitars aren't substantial enough to, you know, about Winfield.
They're not. Yeah, they're highlighting in weird ways that I'm just like, why did you do that?
I just wanted to say, we forgot to mention this, that this album is called $3 Bill, y'all.
Oh, yeah. $3 Bill, y'all.
With a money sign at the end of it.
Ooh.
And I feel the cover looks like a big poopy penis.
A big poopy penis?
I think so. It looks like...
I remember that cover.
See, okay.
I thought the first album was Significant Other. I'm looking on the Spotify right now.
Okay, yeah.
No, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes.
So does this album have faith on it? Yeah. Oh, it does. I don't want to hear it.
No,
I'm not putting that.
Okay, good.
I'd rather hear
the George Michael.
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with Limp Bizkit after this.
Yeah, now I know.
Heard enough.
Yeah.
Man. It just seems to me that there were like plenty of other bands, if you're into that sort of thing, that did it better. Yeah.
But he wore his hat backwards.
And
guys.
He was kind of an MTV darling kind of a little bit.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I don't know why, but.
Cool goatee, backwards hat.
Yeah.
Because it's accessible, because he was already.
Had his hat backwards.
He was already portraying this archetype of a character that already existed. Well, I don't want to get too into it. You know what it sounds like to me?
The song's over and the faith almost started.
You know what it sounds like to me? A lot of guys around this time were really into two things. They were really into backwards hats and goatees. No, I mean, more or less. They got into a little gangster rap.
Yeah.
And they got into a little Pantera.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that's what these guys were doing.
Okay, I could see that.
They were real into Pantera and real into NWA. Right. And they're like, well, what if we played Pantera riffs, but some guy was doing NWA rapping underneath of it. White boy gangster rap.
And then we had somebody scratching underneath it too.
Yeah.
Carl has a set of record players he could scratch up records.
But that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the marriage of these two things, you know, I mean, whatever. If you like Pantera, if you like the NWA, that's fine. They're perfectly fine, legitimate things to enjoy. But somewhere along the way, the marriage of these two things create an entire genre, an era that I just don't...
It's kind of buttsy.
It is a little buddy. It is, yeah. Well, I think it's... But again, it's that art... Like I was saying earlier, the reason I didn't like Limp Bizkit is because Fred Durst reminded me a bunch of fucking... chuds that I didn't like. You know what I mean? Even before that existed, even before Fred Durst came along.
So you knew that guy.
Yeah.
I always just try to ignore that part of it for some reason. Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
Like the personality of the guy.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I can tell. I don't like it.
But it informs the music, man.
I know. I'm not defending.
I'm not. But here's the thing. And tell me if I'm wrong here, Andy. But wasn't there like in the late 80s and early 90s, there was this whole movement of like bad kids, Bart Simpson, problem child.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that
snot
rag boy kid thing. Well, that's this guy.
Yeah, personified.
Yeah, I mean, he just grew up and became that guy.
Yeah, like, I can see
what's
that
up? It's like, okay. I got after school, whatever, detention again.
Eat my shorts.
But there was a lot of that, and I just always thought that stuff kind of sucked.
Right.
Yeah, where are those guys from, Limp Bizkit?
I don't know. I suspect they're Californians.
I'm not going to use any more brain power on looking up.
That's not. What do you need?
They're probably from Connecticut or something.
Probably.
I think that we should let Andy pick our last song on the Rico board over here.
Okay.
And get out of this place.
Let's get out of here.
Let's go. We had a great time.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Thanks,
Men's.
Meds.
No, I had a really good time, and yeah, great. I was. Yep. And, can I give a quick shout out?
Shout out!
I want to give a shout out to my bro at Purple Cat. His name is Uriah Templeton.
All right,
and he is a DJ at Golden String Radio.
Awesome!
Yeah, he plays cool music. You can listen to him. He's on during the day. GoldenStringRadio.org, and yeah, I just had to give a shout out. Hey, Uriah, you're sweet dude.
Hey, cool, Uriah.
All
hey,
right.
Uriah. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Not that I can really think. No.
We can always add it in post.
Yeah, so we got post.
If you can think of anything.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
We'll edit it in right here.
Okay. And there we go. Right. Yeah, that was cool. Thanks, Andy.
Well, Andy, what
what happened?
Oh no.
The Andy Tron's turned off.
Well, Andy, what number are you going to
pick?
What number are you going to pick?
You know what? C3 on my Jupiter 6. It's one of my favorite patches.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't sound good.
C3. All right. Well, guys, we'll see you around.
Sounds
see
good.
See you in season 2, episode 6. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Good pick, Andy.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, that is sexy.
Oh, man. I can go for a tasty drink. Cheers.
Yep. Cheers.
Hey everybody, Andy Conrad here. The upcoming song is called Angel of Light, featuring Shane Wagner and myself. The band is Mesa Cloverleaf Bridge. Thank you very much and hope you enjoy.